improve and enjoy your commute, apparently. I don't know what you do on the train. I mean, I come up sometimes very early from the South Coast, and I have been known to put my makeup on, and I know that some people really scoff at that and say it's bad manners, but if the train is empty, you can do it. And when the train has been empty, I've actually even painted my nails and plugged my Babyliss big hair hair dryer thing in and done my hair. So I treat an empty and quiet carriage very much like my own bedroom slash office. But I'm longing to hear the 100 ways we can make our commutes happy. On the tube, it's different because hopefully you're not going to be on the tube that long. But what do you do? How do you pass the time? How do you keep your brain from turning into a big old sponge? Let me know your thoughts on 0207 224 2000. Or you can text, of course, 81333. Start it with the word London. You can tweet at BBC Radio London. I'd really love to hear. Do you think it is bad manners to put your makeup on the tube? We've got Rosie Cherrington coming in. She's written a piece called In Defence of Doing Your Makeup on the Tube and Why You Should Have Extra Time in Bed and Make the Most of the Time. I think that's a good thing to do. I've also been known to, I sometimes bring a dog up with me on the train. I've also been known to play catch with the dog if there's nobody on the train. So I chuck the ball up to the end of the carriage and she goes and gets.
Live on digital radio and TV and on 94.9 FM.
London's radio station.
BBC Radio London.
London's news at 2. Radio London. It's 2:05.
You're listening to London's radio station.
BBC Radio London.
I want to do one of those. I want to do one of those idents. You're listening to BBC Radio London. Who does that ident? It should be me. I should do more of those. It's Maria McCurlane. Little bit judderingly and haltingly standing in for Joe Good. We have got, what do you do on your commute, if only I could say it? Do you read a book? Do you read the paper? Do you tweet? Do you play? I always think that people who play games like Candy Crush Saga and other games are available, it's just, they're big babies, aren't they? Do something, you know, that's going to do something with your brain. Maybe it does, I don't know. Maybe it keeps your brain from rotting. Who knows? We will find out, though, because we've got Melissa Eddy coming in. She's written a book called The Happy Commuter. We're going to get 100, count them, 100 ways to improve and enjoy your commute. And I'm going to make her go through every one of those 100. No, I'm not. But first, let us have, do you use your journey to put on makeup? That's what I want to know. Am I the only one, as long as well with Rosie Charrington, who also does put makeup on? I want to hear from you, 0207 224 2000, or you can text us on 81333, start it with the word London, or tweet at BBC Radio London. Do call in, but first, it is a beautiful day, Michael Bublé. Thank you very much, Michael Bublé. It is indeed a very beautiful day, and I am sitting opposite a lovely lady called Melissa Addy, and she has written a book called The Happy Commuter. We were just talking. She doesn't like people putting makeup on trains. We're going to have a biffy fight in a minute about that. Now, Melissa, thank you very much for coming in. Let me ask you this one. I've just pulled out a point from your book. It says, The Happy Commuter contains over 100 ways to improve your commute, stretch your mind, look after your body, nurture your soul, indulge your passions, advance your career, or just change your commute altogether. There are some claims. Now, talk me through some of those, please, Melissa.
They are. Well, it's mostly because I read an article which said that it was incredibly bad for you to commute in every possible way, physically, mentally, emotionally, it ruins your relationships, all sorts. And I thought, hang on a minute. Sometimes when you're on the tube or other forms of transport, you're quite happy because you're immersed in something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, so if there were lots of things you could be immersed in and happily focusing on, your commute might feel better and might not be doing all these bad things to you. So I kind of managed to come up with over 100 ideas in the end. And then I thought,
have you tried them all out, Melissa?
I have tried most of them out.
What haven't you tried out? I'm doing my pelvic floors as we speak.
Well,
I
haven't tried out your nice one of playing fetch with the dog. That sounds excellent. But I think you need a very empty train.
Yes, you do. I, you know, I'm quite a far way on the end of the line. So I have a few stations until it gets busy.
That's quite nice, though.
So, yes. And also, I sometimes, if it's very, very quiet, I let my dog go down. And she does a little bit of minesweeping around the carriage for bits of old pasty that have been dropped.
Finds things.
And she comes back with, you know, half-chewed pastels stuck to her fur and things like that and bits of chewing gum.
Exactly.
But that's, you know, you have to be aware of your fellow commuters.
Yes.
Which is why I do understand the not putting makeup on. It's a bit too personal, do you think? Or is it just too distracting?
It's not so much that. It's distracting. It's if they're sitting next to you and then they keep moving their hands and they're sort of in your line of vision. You just
peripheral
can't help
vision.
Looking all the time and thinking, what are they doing? Oh, yeah, the mascara. Oh, no, now they're doing the blusher. If it's opposite, it's very distracting because you're just amazed that the mascara isn't kind of going all over their face.
Well, I find I watch people sometimes putting on makeup on tube. I find it compelling. And also when you put your mascara on, you always automatically open your mouth.
Yes.
And when I watch people putting mascara on, I open my mouth in... so I look slightly gormless.
I know. So that's quite distracting.
But you get very adept at it. So, you know, if I'm in a taxi, you have to wait until the cab stops at a traffic light.
Yep.
And if you're doing it on the train, you wait until you're slowing to come into a station or moving out of the station. They're the best times because they don't. It's not too juddery. I've been known as well. I know this is really antisocial, but again, in an empty carriage, to put nail varnish on and do my hair.
Yeah. Nail varnish is one of the ones that is one of my worstest ones because it's the smell. And
yes, it's very antisocial.
Smell.
I would never
do
it.
Lots of people.
I would never do it if there was
too
anybody
much.
In the carriage.
And the worst thing I ever saw though, was somebody cutting her nails.
Yes, no, but no.
And
can
there
I,
were bits going everywhere.
Can I just tell you that what I've seen a man do it on that train that I get sometimes and I do my nails, cutting his toenails.
Oh, that is gross.
And letting them flick. And people were sort of, I could see by everybody's face that they were absolutely horrified and appalled.
We never say anything though, we're British,
because we're
so we
so
don't.
We're so British. It's fantastic.
So but there are lots of nice things you can do.
You did a master's degree.
I did a master's degree.
It's a little
bit
smug of you, frankly, Melissa.
Yes, I know. And but whilst I was doing that, I was commuting because I was working and doing the master's part-time. And so I did all my reading, pretty much, which meant I freed up my weekends. I freed up my evenings. I didn't have to spend 3 years frantically reading when I could have been doing social
And it
things.
Does feel slightly like dead time, doesn't it?
Yes. I think people dislike commute because they feel they don't feel in control of it. They don't feel it's their time, but somehow it's not work's time either. And then, like you say, it's a sort of dead time in between. But I think
you went a bit American there.
That.
You went, their time and not their time either.
Exactly.
But now that everyone's got a computer or an iPad or whatever, you can watch a movie, you can continue to do work. You know, sometimes I write on the train.
Yes.
So isn't that enough? Why do we need your 100 things as well?
Well, it's interesting because I was sat on the tube this morning and I was looking and I was thinking, who are the people who have planned something to do? And a lot of people got out a book or a tablet and they had something on there. They had a film or they were listening to something.
Mm.
So they planned something.
Yeah.
And I thought, fair enough. And then there were a lot of people who just either were sat there doing pretty much nothing or half falling asleep, or they just picked up a paper. And I just thought, that's a default thing you're doing there. That you've just done that because there's nothing else to do. And
yeah,
you
and
could
also you
be doing
want to know what's going on in London. You pick up
a
free paper on the way home. What about, though, this is the norm here in London, as most people listening will know. When you don't have a seat, you've got to stand. What are your suggestions for that? How am I occupying my time?
Well,
pelvic floor again, obviously.
Yeah, pelvic floor.
Never do too many pelvic floor
never
things.
Do too many pelvic floor.
Kegels, I think they're called.
So you can be doing the pelvic floor. You can just be reading. And I think in that case, the tablets are better really than the books.
Reading
books,
standing
you've got really try
so
and
annoying.
Hold them and you've got to turn pages and stuff, whereas with Kindles and that kind of thing, you can just press the button and it's easier.
I find if you're standing up, what's quite a good thing to do is to sing, and then you get more space around you as well.
Very swiftly, a lot more space. Yes.
Or just hum gently to yourself.
Yes, or mutter things
mutter
that people
things,
can't quite hear.
That's always good as well.
Yes, that's good.
Is that in your book, muttering things?
No, that would be bad. One of the things I do is to look around. This is my personal game. And you look around and you think, six people, I've got to take six people on a desert island, which one? So you're just assessing people in the carriage.
Now that's
thinking,
a good game.
Can they fish? Can they climb a tree and get me a coconut?
Who's a good swimmer?
Exactly.
Well, that's what Robert Elms was saying when I was trailing this show. He was saying he likes to look at people and make up their backstory.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's a really nice way of using your imagination and having a bit of a laugh.
What about staring at people for really, really a long time? And also then they've spotted you staring and you don't look away. How do you rate
that's
that?
That's bad, isn't it? I think that's pretty bad. If it happens
that.
To you, that would be worrying, wouldn't it? If someone was just staring at
you
for a long
time. When I can notice somebody staring at me, and when you're staring, you have a sort of stary face on, which is not very friendly, I always smile. That is my default mechanism, which makes me look
good.
Like a loon, is that I smile at people. If I ever catch people's eye, I think, what am I going to do? I'll smile. And sometimes people smile back, and sometimes they look at me as if I have just escaped from an asylum.
Oh, dear. Yes, yes. Well, I do think there is a little bit in there about being nice to people on your way to work. So if you can just smile at someone when they trot on your foot instead of going at them, and if you can, you know, open the door for someone or let someone aside or something little, and it makes them feel a bit better and you feel a bit better.
I like that.
You did something nice on the way.
I think there's that,
you
know, is it a Plato quote, which is, be kind, for everyone is facing their own struggles.
Ah, yes. That's a nice quote.
And I think this is
true. I like that.
I'm doing a random selection now.
Oh, that sounds worrying.
Oh, you've got nice little quotes in here as well.
Yeah, so the little quotes are just to cheer you up a bit, something a little bit funny sometimes. They're from all different places, celebrities, religious leaders.
That means that you've only actually got things on one side of the page.
I do, yes.
And you've got your little quotes on
exactly.
the other.
So easy
travel
to
is to take a journey team. Into yourself. That was Danny Kaye.
Yes.
You see, we like that. So now, on page 132, you say, why not indulge your passions? What do you mean by that?
Okay, so I think whatever your passions are in life, whatever they are, you can find a way to do something about them, for them, with them.
Mm.
On your commute. So my passion is writing and reading. So I read a lot of books on the tube and I write things. But for example, I used to mentor entrepreneurs. That was my job. And a lot of entrepreneurs who are beginning their entrepreneurial journey are trying to juggle a day job and trying to set up a new business.
Mm. You used to mentor entrepreneurs.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it was a really nice job. I liked it. And you know, if I said to you as an entrepreneur, I'm going to give you one day a week to set up your new business,
yes.
you know, while you keep your job going on the side, you'd be really pleased with that. And if you think about the number of hours of your commute and you use that to be thinking about and planning and developing your business, you would have an extra day a week to do that. So I think whatever your passions are, you can find a little way of involving them on your commute.
Yes. I've got another little quote here from William Burroughs. Your mind will answer most questions if you learn to relax and wait for the answer. That is very true. We're very rarely relaxed when we're on the commute.
Yes.
It's like, got to get a seat, really
yes.
hot and bothered, train's late.
Yeah,
you know, something's gone wrong at work. People are, in general, miserable, aren't they, when they're commuting? You don't see much smiling.
No, you don't. I did, when I first started writing the book, I thought, I'm going to try and find a picture of a happy commuter for the front cover, because I thought that'd be really nice.
I noticed a picture of
it. No, and I put in the happy commuter. I couldn't find images, and I thought, well, that just tells you the book needs to be written.
Oh, you put that into a Google search,
yeah.
a happy commuter. Why didn't you
and
just take a picture
really
of a happy commuter?
Really hard to find. Well, that just shows
me
you
putting
that
my makeup
needed.
On, for example,
exactly.
is
the
a happy
big
commuter.
Smile at the person who's staring at you.
This morning, in fact, I didn't have any makeup on, and I went into a coffee shop and had a coffee. And while I was waiting for my coffee to be percolated, flat white, I did decide to put my makeup on. And as I left, the girls, who were Polish, very, very beautiful girls from Poland, said, oh, nice makeup.
Well, that's always
I thought
nice,
I'd done it without anyone noticing.
To be complimented on your makeup technique.
Yes, but that is, you know, like, that is me commuting. I was going down to collect my bike that I'd left in a drunken stupor last night. No, I wasn't really in a drunken stupor. And so it's utilising
time. Yes, absolutely. I do think that time is quite precious. I got my husband to read the book when I was kind of checking for manuscript errors. And he was like, yeah, I like it. Here's a few errors, whatever. And then a few weeks later, he comes home and starts trying to practice his Italian on me and tells me about these TED Talks he's been listening to on podcasts. And, he, you know, he's got two small children and a full-time job. But he suddenly realised from reading the book that he could be doing those things that he thought he didn't really have time for. So that just shows you.
Now, there's a lot of talk at the moment, Melissa, about mindfulness.
Yes.
Do you go into any form of meditation as a useful form of, you know, as you say, as I said that quote before, relaxing and letting your mind find the answer? Do you go into mindfulness?
I personally do a little bit of kind of sometimes thinking, mostly before I go to sleep at night, I will think, let's just let it go. Whatever that particular thing, I kind of focus on it for a minute and then think, let's think about it in the morning. And I think that does give your brain a sort of a brief to say, this is the thing you should be working on tonight. But I do say at the beginning of the book, before I get into all the other things that you could be doing, why don't you do nothing? Why don't you just take a break? Just, you know, shut your eyes if you can and just think of nothing for a little bit and just be mindful in that way, because we do try and do so many different things, and sometimes it's important to do nothing as well.
I find it very difficult to let your mind go. You know, people say let all the thoughts go away. How do you do that?
You just let them come in and say bye, and keep sending them in, out, that sort of thing.
I like this one. Keep up with correspondence.
Yes.
Go on.
So well, you could take a stack of postcards with you and just write a little one every day and drop it off in the postbox on your way to work, because people still really like getting a real letter in the post or a real postcard. You can write emails. Because I've got little children, I've discovered that because they can't read and write, what they really like are voice messages. So yes, you can record little messages for them.
They can't read and write. That's just sweet. They're only one and a half.
I know, but they really
You're going to be a really tough mother, aren't you? They can't read and write yet.
What's wrong with them?
Four and one and a half.
But the thing is, they really like that. They can leave a message for their aunt. She can leave a message for them. So you could record little messages for kids, you know, things like that. And I think that just little ways of keeping in touch with people. It doesn't always have to be a big deal and, you know, going around to meet them or whatever. It can just be a little moment where you've thought of them.
Or what about page 168? Plan your green space. What does that mean?
Okay, so this is... I was trying to think about things that people enjoy doing, and one of the things people enjoy doing is gardening, for example, or having involvement with green things. And I thought, well, that's just ridiculous. You can't do that on your commute. And then I thought, well, no, you can, actually. You can plan your garden. You can develop your garden. You can be ordering seeds from the seed catalogue. You can be looking at other people's gardens and getting ideas. What I really like is when you go on trains and you can see people's teeny tiny rooftop gardens or little spaces, and they've done something amazing, covered in flowers and amazing furniture, and you think, wow, that's a tiny space and you've made it so pretty.
Made it their own. Exactly. I'm feeling slightly stressed now that I've got to make my commute count, because you know, I quite like staring gormlessly ahead of me, smiling at random people, obviously, and using that time to sort of order my thoughts, if not kind of let my mind go free, but order my thoughts and think, well, what's next in the line of things?
But
is that
good.
An
those
activity
are,
still?
Yes, those are good things to do. The important thing is that you enjoy the commute rather than sit there in misery thinking, oh, I hate this, it's boring, it's tedious,
A lot of stations have, it says here, a lot of stations have Wi-Fi now. My commute, I've never had Wi-Fi. Thank you very much, Southeastern. But are more of us getting sucked into to doing more work and thinking, I'll just do this before I get home on this commute?
I think so. I do. There is a section on advancing your career, and I do say quite strictly there that I really dislike working after work, before work, because you could just keep working 24 hours a day, and I just don't think that's right, really.
Well, that's
nobody's paying
you
for that time.
That's the world we live in. You've done a couple of books already, Melissa, 100 Things to Do While Breastfeeding.
That's what I was doing at the time.
Poor new mothers. Why is it always 100? Why don't you just do two things while breastfeeding? Have a fag and a glass of wine. No, that's terrible. I'm joking. But all those people say, you can't smoke around a baby or drink while you're breastfeeding. I know that. I am joking. What are some of the things that you did while you breastfed then?
Breastfeeding was because that's what I was doing at the time. And because, you know, breastfeeding can take up, I counted it up to about 700 hours per child. And I just thought, that is so much time.
I really hope you're going to invoice them for that time at some point in their
when
lives.
When they're older and they get a nice job, I'm going to be like, right, you know how many
when they
hours
learn to read
I
and
spend?
Write.
Yeah, exactly.
I waited 700 hours breastfeeding
700
you.
700 hours. And it's quite a pleasant time. You're sat there, you've got your lovely little baby. Hopefully they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's a nice time for you to be doing other things. I read tons of books. I wrote the book whilst doing it because I had a pen in one hand. I just kind of scribbled ideas as I went along. There were lots of things about making sure that you were eating and drinking and looking after yourself a bit.
See, mindfulness people would say you weren't present while you were breastfeeding your children.
Yes, well,
then,
there is that. But equally, I don't think 700 hours spent staring at your baby when they are otherwise engaged.
Oh, yeah, but staring at it and going, look, I made that. Look at that. That's a miracle.
That is good too.
I would do that all the time.
Yeah, it's good too. That was number one on the list, was gaze at your baby adoringly and having a good time with them. But there are other things you can do
too. We've got a tweet from Leo the Bear UK. He says, I get my laptop out and work on the train to and from work. I'm not a workaholic, but it means I get to start late and leave early.
This is good. I've got a section where I talk about change your commute. And one of the things I say to people is, can you agree with your boss that you could start a bit later or finish a bit earlier or whatever. Shift it around a little bit. It does not always have to be 9 till 5. And if you come to some kind of agreement like that, that's wonderful, because what you'll end up doing is commuting at a time of day when you are not right in the middle of the rush hour, which is nicer for everybody else because there's one less space on the train, and nicer for you because you'll be in a more relaxed environment. So definitely, yes.
What else is in the pipeline for you now, Melissa? What's your next 100 things? I'd like you to do 50 things, because I find 100 too daunting.
I'm at the moment, I'm a writer in residence at the British Library, which is best.
What does that entail? That sounds like a cushy job to me.
It is a cushy job. It's a wonderful job. I'm looking at 2 strands. One is storytelling for businesses. And one is business for storytellers, i.e. writers. So I'm trying to make writers think of themselves as entrepreneurs. And I'm writing a book called Merchandise for Authors. So trying to think about developing their own merchandise. And I've got a book that I'm writing called The Storytelling Entrepreneur. And it's for entrepreneurs and how they can tell better stories and share their values better.
Okay, you are one busy lady, and I'm sure that your 4-year-old and your 1.5-year-old will have books out before they're 5.
Oh, my 4-year-old already dictated me a 13-page story. I couldn't keep up. He was like, and then this happened, and then that happened, and I'm like madly writing, and he goes, I've got a book? I was like, yes, you have.
Well, you are a one-woman entrepreneur, and your family are joining you. Now, The Happy Commuter is by Melissa Addy, and it's published by Letterpress and is out now. It came out on February 4th, didn't it?
Yes.
Thank you very much. It has been lovely to talk to you, Melissa. And I will try and put some of those things into action.
That sounds fun. And I want to come and play catch with your dog one day.
Yes, please do. And if you see me on the tube, on the train putting makeup on, you can shout at me.
Okay.
I don't mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now it's Maxine Brown with Oh No, Not My Baby.